Today on Real Radio.
A God carved out of our culture, one that conveniently approves of everything we want, when we want it, and how we choose to have it to be, is in fact godlessness.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know all about the future things. Luke 21 is among the commonly consulted chapters on what will happen during the end times. Now, Jesus himself teaches here what we're to look for as signs of the times. The verses we're looking at speak of believers being ready and continually praying. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in this very informative series called You Need to Know, all about the future things.
Turn to Luke chapter 21 this morning. Go there and turn and park in Luke chapter 21 as we'll read a few verses there and then go into the continuation of our study of the You Need to Know series as we're looking at future things. As we're looking at the future things of what the Bible has to say. Future things. You guys know now theologically, to impress all your friends, you can go back home today and say, I learned about eschatology. The science of the Bible studying God's revelation of future events. Jesus tells us, Luke chapter 21, verse 34, mark it, everybody. By the way, allow me to do this. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. That's my Bible. But I'm going to drop also the Living Translation down here for some of you who are not familiar. So I'll mix it together for a moment. So you stay tuned on that. Jesus said, watch out. Take heed. The word means exercise attention. This is a serious statement by Jesus. Watch out, Jesus says. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing, partying that leads to drunkenness, and by the worries of this life. The word worries, the distracting cares, the things that prodding cares. They poke at you. You know those cares that get your attention like that? They just kind of bug you. You know, they're the cares that wake you up in the middle of the night. You know those kind of cares? Things that keep you awake. Things that distract you. Jesus says, watch out! These are the things that are going to be happening. Don't let them dull your hearts. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on earth. Underline that in your Bible. Underline that. He makes a statement. Everyone living on the earth is going to get caught off guard. Look what he says, though. Verse 36. Keep alert at all times. The word means never let your soul's guard or your spiritual stance grow tired and you sleep. In other words, spiritually, stay awake and pray. Notice the statement. Pray that you might be strong enough or be found alert to escape these things coming or these coming horrors, to avoid them, to miss them. The word means to not be present when they happen. What a statement. And so that you may stand before the Son of God. The Son of Man, Jesus is saying, watch out, be ready, stand guard, don't go to sleep, on your watch, don't let your soul become complacent. Why? Because there's going to be a trap that falls upon all those who live on the earth, but pray that you'll be ready to escape all those things. That is pretty crystal clear. That there's a time coming. Now, I tell you what, I've read what I'm about to read to you, I've read so many times because I wanted to impress you as though it was coming off of my own heart and my own mind in the instant. I did write this, it ministered to me, made me cry, quite frankly, of where I'm at currently spiritually with God and what's going on in my life. I'm begging God for a revival. Like America's never known before. And I've been studying the revival of 1857 and 1858 still to this day. It's considered the greatest revival in recorded human history in the United States. It's wound up sweeping Europe. Read about it, 1857, 1858, but my heart was so stirred up, and then knowing that we're going to this portion of Scripture that we have the vantage point of what we're going to be learning, of watching all this stuff. If possible, we'll watch it from heaven. I'd rather not even care about it, but the Bible tells us in advance. But we'll be there as all little hell breaks loose on earth during that tribulation period. And so this is what I wrote to myself. The world that, I don't even know I can read it. Be a man. The world that you and I live in claims to have a high value for truth. Our secular culture prides itself on demanding accuracy and honesty when investigating issues. But is that what we see coming out of our culture and our institutions today? Our culture, our society, even the so-called Christian culture is guilty today of interpreting and reinterpreting the truth of God in light of how we feel or how we think God should rule on a particular issue or how God ought to conduct himself. God needs to meet our standards today. Not we meet his. But the God of the Bible is predictive, prophetic, revealing to us that he not only knows the future, but desires to share that information with us for our good. Thus he writes it in the Bible. God wants you to know the future. He stands alone in this issue. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21. Isaiah 45, 21 says, "Who foretold this long ago?" God's exclusive. Note this. He says, "Who declared it from distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me." Listen how exclusive. And if he weren't God alone, he sounds arrogant. But he is God alone. There's none but me. Turn to me, verse 22. He says, listen to him. Skeptic, atheist, downcast, sad person, lost. Listen, the same God says, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. This is the prophetic, predictive God of the Bible. Look to me, he says. Horrible times are coming upon the earth. And so I picked up my pen and I continued to write. A church, a Christian, without a prophetic biblical worldview cannot understand either the person of God or how you and I are to live our lives in light of our God. And the sad reality today within evangelicalism is that it's giving way to an emotionally based theology that is reinventing theology and redefining who God is. And now we begin to ask ourselves, hath God really said? Culture and our leaders today, in a way, are creating a God in their own image. And unless the church stands up and reassumes her rightful place as the church of the living God and a pillar in the ground of all truth, there will be no hope for a lost world. They will have no place to run to in the day of trouble, and they will have no place that they might be found. A man-made theology is nothing less than intellectual dishonesty and spiritual suicide, which is perhaps the purest form of idolatry. A God carved out of our culture, one that conveniently approves of everything we want, when we want it, and how we choose to have it to be, is in fact godlessness. On the wave of this cultural storm, the Bible says a man will arise unlike any other that the world has ever seen, and he will ride that wave of human request onto global popularity. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches regarding this coming Antichrist. Giving up on God, giving up on the Bible. But man's hunger and thirst for spirituality will be answered by this one that the Bible speaks about, the one that we've been talking about and we started looking at last time together. Mark this down if you would. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 said that the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, the man, the Antichrist, the consummate politician, the man who will answer all the needs religiously, culturally, socially, emotionally. We'll be working under the workings of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing. Notice whom he deceives, those who are perishing. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. They had a way out. They had opportunity that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So listen, last week we looked at it, and we'll just speak about it for a second. A grand deception is coming to planet Earth, church. Jesus said it's coming. The world is being prepared to become totally frustrated with politics. Somebody say amen. To become so disillusioned by human government that a man is going to come on the scene and talk the language of the world, and he's going to say, I know what to do. And I would assume the world is going to be somewhat skeptical of him at first, but the Bible tells us that he's going to come on the world scene, and his crowning achievement to launch him and catapult him is that, of course, he rises out of the ash heap of humanity. The world seems to be in such peril that he answers two key things. The Bible says he crafts a Middle East peace agreement with the nation of Israel, which is amazing. The Bible has said that for 2,600 years now. And he will stabilize the global economy. Now we look at our second argument this morning. He will be part of and introduce and give stage to a universal religion. And I believe that we are well on our way to that being introduced. Can you mark that down? Number two, understanding what the Bible says in theological understandings of future events, there is a universal religion coming to planet Earth. We know this from the book of Revelation and other books of the Bible. There is a system that's coming that will unite all the various religions of the world together into one package. And this shouldn't be surprising for us. You say, how in the world will Islam ever get along with Judaism and Hinduism, with Buddhism and atheism, with New Age and the Asian religions of the Orient? How's that going to work? I don't know how it's going to work. I just know that the Bible says it will be done by lying wonders empowered by Satan himself. It's going to take Satan to dupe people like that together. It's going to be the ultimate kumbaya. Let's get together. Let's all unite. And this is why, this is one of the key reasons why this Sunday series began. Let's unite on the things people say that we have in common, and let's not bring up the things that we disagree on. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, do I have your attention? You must read your Bible. The Bible makes it very clear that if you are possessed by God Almighty and you know His Word, there will be few people on earth who will agree with you. Because listen, they don't agree with heaven, and they will not agree with you. It's not based on your feelings. It's not based on what you want to carve God out of your culture to be like. God says, this is it. And He's trying to rescue us. And Jesus says, please, don't go down that path of deception. How are you going to know? By how you feel? Or by what God's word says. That's doctrine. What is the truth? Not, well, I feel and I think and I don't know. What does God say? And He's not silent. But this is how this Antichrist, the false prophet that will associate with him and Satan himself, will do it. Mark it down if you would, please. He will deify the humanity of man. The Bible tells us that he's going to deify the humanity of man. He himself ultimately is going to declare to the world that he is God. You say, well, Jack, how do you say that he's going to deify the humanity of man? Because you know exactly what I know. There's an interesting thing that Satan does that has been very, very successful throughout human history. It worked in the garden, and it works today. You got it. You're nodding your head. And that is, you can become a God also. You say, Jack, that's stupid, that's silly. To you it is, because you've got the light. Do I need to remind you that under Satan's deception, this man will have the most amazing charisma the world has ever seen. That's scary. He will be surrounded by power, and he will begin to think even of himself that he's more than a man. He will be lied to by Satan also. He will become a victim of his own propaganda, but it will be propaganda that Satan is infusing into him. And it's no secret to any Bible student that Satan loves to introduce aberrant doctrine. Genesis 3, verse 1, listen to this. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, that's weird. That's just weird. Because Eve didn't freak out and say, what in the world is the snake doing talking to me? That wasn't the issue. Isn't that weird? Did animals talk, Dr. Doolittle, back then? Did they? It's just weird. Anyway, he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Doubt's introduced. Satan is the inventor of false doctrine. Charles Spurgeon says having a life full of doubt is having faith in Satan. I think that's kind of accurate. But Satan's the one who invents false doctrine. The only way we're going to know the truth against the false is by knowing the Word of God. But it happened in the garden, and this is what took place. So Satan introduces this. Has God really said? Doubt is introduced. Eve counters and says, God told us not to eat of that tree right there. And what did Satan counter back with? God just knows. See, he's not telling you the truth, Eve. He's keeping some stuff back from you because here's the thing. He doesn't want you to be like him. He knows that in the day that you eat of it, you'll be like gods. Really? You got to remember, Eve wasn't stupid. She was perfect. And Satan was so powerful, speaking through this serpent thing, that it caused her to doubt, and then she began to embrace false doctrine. And then you know what she decided to do? She decided to do it. She decided to act on it. And her decision produced all aberrant false doctrines from that moment on. But the key centrality of it is, all Satan has to do is get you just off course a little bit. Now, if you call that a little bit, I don't call that a little bit, but she said, I would like to be like this. And she did it. What I find interesting is that's self-deification, is it not? I want to be like God. This Antichrist is going to want to be like God. Why? The genre of those who know not God is that they want to be like God. Even though they don't know God, they don't want anything to do with God because, frankly, God crowds their space. They want to be their own. And look, when you and I live on our own and we live without God and we reject Him, aren't we kind of doing that anyway? It's in our DNA from our mom, from Mama Eve. 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says that he, the Antichrist, will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. He's jealous, or that is worshipped as God, so that he sits as God in the temple, that's Jerusalem, showing himself that he is God. And people will love it when this happens. He will attempt to unify the world's religions. He's going to declare himself to be God, and the world is going to believe it. You say, Jack, that's insane. I agree, it is insane, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I just ask you this. Even though we as Christians will miss this on earth, can you begin to feel or to see or to discern or to look at the possible atmosphere where such a thing could even take place? The trends and the leaning? Listen, we shouldn't be surprised about this, though. There are basically 5 pillars to Satanism. Are you aware of that? 5 pillars, they're called, of Satanism. That is the Satan's heart about what he propagates. It's in Isaiah chapter 14. It's amazing. Mark it down. You're going to want to look at this later. They're known as the 5 I wills of Satan. The 5 I wills. There is an amazing commentary, and we'll get to it on some Wednesday night in the future, maybe. Isaiah 14, when we get there. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, how you are fallen from heaven. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, number one, I will ascend into heaven. Interesting, huh? Satan wanted to be above God. I want heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. The star, the references to angels. I want a throne higher than the other angels. I want to sit above God. Listen, the Bible's letting you into his mind. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. Listen, this is what Nimrod intended to do. Remember, Nimrod built a tower and he was an archer? Unfortunately, it's very unclear in the English. Nimrod was a hunter for the souls of men. That's what it means in Scripture, that he hunted men's souls. Isn't that kind of creepy? What an animal of a man. And he built a tower to do what? To reach God. But doesn't it sound nice to reach God? No, the word means to shoot God down off his throne. Where did he get that from? It's in the heart of Satan. It's in the heart of man to take God off his throne. When God's not on the throne, who's on the throne? We put ourselves on the throne. We have followed and swallowed the line of Satan. He goes on, Isaiah 14, 14, he says there, the fourth, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. The fifth one, I will be like the Most High. Anybody coming along and peddling a religion that says you can become like God. Ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you that that comes from Satan in Genesis chapter 3. Proving that Lucifer, Satan, is the ultimate wannabe, is he not? I want this, I want this, I want this. Does it sound like our culture today? I want this, and I want it now. That commercial, people open their windows. I want my money, and I want it now. I want my burger, and I want it my way. And if we don't get it, is there a line of complaints? Fill out a form, you know. Bertrand Russell said in his book, Power, A New Social Analysis, and 1938 wrote, every man would like to be a god, said Bertrand Russell. By the way, his last words on his deathbed was, death comes pitless and dark, and he died without God. Jean-Paul Sartre, a secular humanist, writes, to be man means to reach toward being a god. Interesting.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. It's just one part of a series that focuses on what God's written word says about eschatology, or the study of the last days. You Need to Know All About the Future Things is part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies called You Need to Know, which will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Now, we hope you've been enjoying and learning from this multi-part series. And we want to thank you for listening and making Real Radio a part of your day. We truly mean that. And remember now, this series of messages is available for purchase on a 4-DVD set. It goes by the name You Need to Know All About the Future Things. Now, of course, there are many facets to eschatology, and it's important that we understand it all. It's one of the great hopes for every true believer. So that's why we're making this series available. There are 4 DVDs, and they contain all 8 parts of this series. To purchase You Need to Know All About the Future Things on DVD, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time, here on Real Radio.